Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, Sue, stating the obvious, this Greg Biffle story is just god-awful. Yeah, it's just terrible. And, we had our friend Kenny Wallace on the show, I think, a couple of days ago. And he just did a nice tribute to not only Greg Biffle, but Craig Wadsworth is someone else who passed away in this terrible accident. And Kenny says that Craig drove one of his motorhomes for 6 years.
Yeah. So he's a real good friend of Kenny.
He's got a great picture of Kim and Craig. It's just, I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, we were talking about this a little off the air. You have the Reiner situation, and that's Hollywood, but still, imagine this is around the holidays, and you have to plan for two funerals of brutal murders, and then you have Greg Biffle, Craig, and his wife, and then two children, one from a previous marriage, right?
Yep, the daughter from a previous marriage, and his son from the current one, so his ex-wife has to learn that her daughter went down in a It's just awful.
But my point was then this is all happening around the holidays. Right? So this was a Cessna C-550 in Charlotte, North Carolina, I guess upon landing. I don't know if we know any more information about what might have caused this, but it was a fiery. I mean, when it went down,
it
if you want to say about something good, I think it probably happened very quickly. But yeah, it looked real bad. So I'm not sure what the steps will be to investigate something like this, because it's a smaller plane, but really, really bad.
Biffle was a great driver, but also a heck of a nice guy, I guess. So, there's nothing you can say.
It is sickening, right. So here, this is just something quick on the Cardinals. Fred, I think you'll appreciate this. Ken Rosenthal just blasted out an update on the trade market. He included the Cardinals. Some of this is stating the obvious to a certain extent, but what he said in his latest report at The Athletic, which is part of the New York Times, is the most active seller in the trade market. The St. Louis Cardinals continue to discuss a wide range of players, including infielder, outfielder Brendan Donovan, outfielder Lars Nootbaar, first baseman Wilson Contreras, third baseman Nolan Arenado, and lefty reliever Jojo Romero. As previously reported, the Mariners are a favorite for Donovan. The Dodgers are interested in Nootbaar. The Angels are apparently negotiating a buyout agreement with Rendon, and there's no trade imminent, but the market for Arenado will become better defined, he says, after Bregman and Suarez sign their free agent deals. Arenado turns 35 in April. It's just so crazy because he's under contract for two more years, and then the Rockies are still paying $5 million of the $27 million salary in 2026. That's $6 million deferred. He's owed $15 million in 2027. I'd love to see Nolan land in a good place where he could compete and maybe win a ring, but one thing we know for sure is he's not going to be starving, because there's a lot of money that's coming into Nolan Arenado right now.
You know, Chaim Bloom told KMOX's Tom Ackerman over the weekend, you know, I'm hoping to get some deals done before Christmas. So we may be seeing things coming
maybe in the
soon.
Next couple of days. You never know. All right. So last night, and I just got to tell you, remember I was kind of joking about the president's speech interrupting the Survivor finale?
Yeah.
So Becky and Alexa got home. They were at swimming. They get home. The Survivor finale starts late. We're trying to get settled. Alexa takes a shower, all this stuff. By the time we start to, you know, maybe get comfortable to watch it, Becky's wiped. She's like, I'm going to sleep. I'm like, I get it. She'd been working late and getting up early. So we were trying to zip through some of it. Well, then the first thing I see, and I won't spoil it for people because it's been spoiled for me. The first thing I see when I open up the, a lot of people record it. You're shaking your head, but I'm telling you, Entertainment Weekly and a lot of these other places out there, they're very careful about this.
Oh,
right?
Are they?
Oh, absolutely.
I've heard it everywhere this morning.
Well, there's a reason for that, and I don't want to state the obvious.
Well, yeah,
you heard it everywhere
point.
This morning, because I'll shut up about it now, but I'm telling you, here's what I can guarantee you as someone who has watched reality shows, that when you go on Twitter, This never happens, okay?
True.
So I did not, that's what I mean. They're very careful. They know that people record shows. They know that they watch them a day or a couple of days later. A lot of them will say, the headline will not give it away, and then they'll say spoilers in that first paragraph. But the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did it a different way this morning and screwed up the whole thing. And look, people are dying in plane crashes. I'm not trying to make this all about me. I'm just saying that it was just ridiculous the way that that thing had to go down. The point of that is I got downstairs last night. I was watching a couple of shows. I'm like, you know what? I want to listen to some music. So I put my headphones on and I wanted to hear, I was in the mood for something a little different. I think you're going to like this, Sue. So the first song that I went with because I was in a mood was this one here.
Oh!
A little bit of a Linda Ronstadt mood, right? So with the headphones on, this song sounds so good. It really does. So on any music service, they have recommendations. Like if you have playlists together or songs, they'll make you. Spotify does this. I mentioned that I use Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. I love the format of Tidal. So I decided to create a new playlist. And the playlist is actually entitled, Let's See What We Can Create Here. Because what I was looking for was something a little different. And they kept making recommendations based on this. And I kept hitting refresh. And I'm like, okay, I think I want to include this one. Now, this one was not a recommendation, but I put this one on there because I love the song. I came back from Greece, and I didn't even know if I was familiar with this song. And Sue knew it. This is Don Gibson. This great song, Sea of Heartbreak. So this was the second thing that was on my list. Great song. So I'm going through the recommendations, and I see something else. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't heard this song in a long time, so let's try it. Recognize that one? Yeah. Not only Kenny Loggins, but Loggins and Messina. Great song, Your Mama Don't Dance. Trying to hit the post here, but I missed it one time or two.
Your mama don't dance and your daddy don't log and roll.
All right, I like that song. So I listen to that one. I'm looking for recommendations. I'm refreshing. I'm going to give you maybe even a little bit of bonus cash if you name who this artist is. And I think Ethan has screwed up and not put the second part in here, but I'll try it anyway here. I don't think you're going to know this one.
Fred, I got nothing. You know it?
Not yet.
I don't think you know it. I wouldn't have even known it, I don't think, until the lyrics started here. But this is maybe kind of a one-hit wonder from the 1970s, and the artist who sounds like Neil Diamond is Andy Kim.
Ain't it good?
Ooh!
Ain't it right?
Rock Me Gently, Rock Me slowly, right?
Take it easy.
Here tonight.
Doesn't it sound like Neil Diamond, though?
Music playing.
A little bit. It's got a quality.
All right, so I put that one on there because I hadn't heard that song in decades, right?
Touching you, so warm and tender.
Then I was looking for something else. What's my next recommendation? Something I haven't heard in a long time. This is another test for you. Ready? I don't think you're going to get it right away. We'll see if you do. Sue's going to know this one. We'll see if Fred knows it.
I don't know.
Oh. You don't know what it is?
Hold on, not yet.
We just talked to someone from the city, and it's in the title.
On the east side.
Remember what this
Chicago.
Is? The night Chicago died.
Mama cried.
Oh, wow.
I heard her pray the night Chicago died.
How about that?
Wow.
So I haven't heard that one in a while. The next recommendation that I went with was this one here. And this one isn't that obscure. I've used this one for a bump before, but I love Boss Gags, and Lido Shuffle is a great, great song.
Lido missed the boat that day.
All right, so I was kind of jamming on this and putting a good list together, but I'm not through yet. I find someone else that I haven't heard in a long time. How about this guy here? This is another bit of a test for you. You're going to recognize the piano, but can you name the artist here? Can you pick up the medley? Here we go.
You know I can dance.
You hear
it?
It's Leo Sayer.
You know I can dance. You know I can dance.
Yeah.
You know I can dance. You know I can dance.
Now, the next one that came up, I put in here just because Sue and I love it. I'm not going to play it because I played it last week when Raul Maldad, but Dance the Night Away from the Mavericks. But I wasn't through yet. I'm like, let's look for another recommendation. How about this one here? Freddie Fender.
Wait the day, then wait the night.
Good
believe
song, don't you think?
He's got a lisp, I didn't
realize. Are you behind?
It's a great song.
Wow.
Old song. And then there's one more here. And I did not know this one. It came up as a recommendation. I hit it, and I just kind of liked it. We'll see. Sue, this will be a test for you.
Hmm.
a country artist here, old-time country artist, I believe.
Sing me. Sing me an old-fashioned song.
I so like it, but I
Billie
don't know.
Joe Spears.
Ah, okay.
I was unfamiliar with her.
Yeah.
So anyway, now I have a playlist of 44 minutes, and I can add to it. And it's called Let's See What We Can Create. And I was looking for things that were just a little different. And it was fun to refresh and kind of go through things that I hadn't heard in maybe, you know, decades. Like The Night Chicago Died. I promise you that's not been on any of my playlists.
I have a
recommendation
to add.
Okay.
It is Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one. If you don't pull your love. And I'll tell you what, don't pull your love. You will love it.
Of course, I know that song.
Yeah,
right.
Put that on there.
I gotta see if I can Hamilton.
Spotify gave that to me one time on a road trip, and I yelled it at the top of my lungs and put it on repeat too many times.
What is it again? Hamilton?
Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Fred?
I was going to say, you know.
Don't pull your love. Here it is.
Yeah, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. That one's on there. There you go. Hamilton, Joe Frank,
yes,
and Reynolds.
Yes, it's so great.
No, I know that song. So that's what's interesting is that once you create a playlist or you're listening to a certain type of music, you know, the analytics or whatever you want to call it, the AI, they do make recommendations that are somewhat interesting. And that was a lot of fun creating that that list last night. So I'm going to keep adding to it.
Okay. So I spent all my morning pulling cuts from Donald Trump's speech. And you spent your afternoon pulling music cuts.
You didn't have
Can
as much fun.
Can we switch jobs?
Sure, sure. I had more fun, I promise, than you did. Sue's News is coming up.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
A little earlier today, President Trump and the White House reclassified marijuana from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. My friend Andrew Mullins, who is Executive Director of MoCan Trade, which is the Missouri Cannabis Trade Association, is going to explain that move to us after Sue's News, which is coming up right now on 97.1 FM Talk. If I can press the right buttons and all. Here we go. That's not the right button, is it? So we'll do that again. We'll try it again.
Allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, happy National Twin Day. Do you have twins in your family, Fred?
My dad was a twin.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
How and was that as a kid? Like, did they look exactly?
It was... No, one was a boy. He was a boy. She was a girl.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
But would that be kind of cool? Were you as a kid fascinated? I think that'd be fascinating to have a twin as a parent.
You know, and don't they always say it kind of skips a generation?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well, producer Meredith David Klein has twins. My niece, Courtney, is actually pregnant and expecting two identical twins. I already know that.
Oh, my
they can test
gosh.
For that. So she's got two identical twin boys coming in April.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, right? It's exciting for those people who don't have to. I mean, it's hard enough with an infant. I don't know how parents do it with two. I really don't.
Seriously? And
like,
that's your first two?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, people do it, and they get through it, but I've even said this week where I'm the laundry person, right? For the most part, I do the laundry.
Yeah.
But like, just for three of us in the house, I can't imagine having a couple more people in the house because I feel like I'm doing it all the time regardless. My daughter has this thing where she cannot wear anything twice. I'm like, you have these hoodies. Can you not wear them like maybe twice, not just once for 3 hours?
Uh-huh. What'd she say? Nope.
She didn't seem to agree with me on that.
It
right.
seems odd. Now, I have some twin cousins. Diane and Joanne, but that's it. But you could always tell them apart. The identical ones freak me out. Now, we had Barry and Gary Reams when I was growing up, and they looked pretty similar, but I don't think they could do like a a switch, you know, where they're
You know. So Alexa's best friends, two of her best friends, Millie and Vera, they're twins, but non-identical.
Huh.
And they're different. I mean, it's interesting because they have different interests. They have different personalities. It's not what you would expect, I guess, sometimes. I was really good friends in junior high, grammar school and junior high with two kids, Dan and Mike Parker, that were twins, and they were awesome.
How come none of yours rhyme? Mine all rhyme. It's weird. I think the ones I know are weirder than not rhyming. All right. It is also National Regifting Day. A poll found 61% of Americans now think regifting something you don't want is acceptable. It used to be a lot lower. Fred, what is your stance?
I'm trying to think if I've regifted something. I don't know that
sure.
I have.
Sure. Marie has.
Really?
Marie? And no, yeah. I don't know. What about you? Have you?
Of course I have. This is funny, though, because we play pickleball. Cusimano and I show up on Saturday at Padel and Pickle. Our friend Jeff Drew is the host, and Frank's daughter is there. So it's Jeff's birthday last Sunday. So Frank brings a present, and he even admits, he goes, I almost grabbed a thing of Pro V1s for you, but I think those were the ones you gave me, which would have made it even funnier.
All right, well, but that's entertaining.
Yes.
I mean, would you buy?
But
I've
probably regifted. Sure, of course.
Maybe I have. I don't know. Oh, ooh, I love this music so much.
I'm not opposed to it. Let's say it that way.
All right, well, that's fair.
I just can't
remember. You know, if you get something generic, what are you going to do? On this day in history, 64 years ago in 1961, this song by The Tokens hit number one.
Now this will be in your head all day for sure.
I love it so much, though.
I think of The Lion King and the scene in The Lion King when I hear this song, too. The Tokens, and you say it hit number one?
Yeah, today in 1961.
It.
Yes, it did.
Here we go.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight.
Such a weird song when you kind of think about it, though.
Yeah, well, it is
bizarre
a
bizarre song for the 60s.
Okay, you know, Jimmy Fallon had Billy Joel on years ago, and they did a recording, you know, where you can record one part of it, and then it plays it back, and they built layer on layer and did this song, and it's excellent.
I do remember
if
that.
If you want to see it on
bit.
YouTube. Yeah,
it was
awesome.
Cool. I do remember that.
Apparently,
that was back when Jimmy Fallon was, like, funny and doing creative things.
Well, yeah.
I still think he is the funniest one and not doing – he's doing the least amount of politics, is
agreed.
What I would say.
Agreed. Yeah. And, oh, Greg Warren was on Fallon this week, our local comedian.
I know.
Kirkwood High graduate. He was in the same class as my brother.
He was on Monday night. I have not watched it.
Yes.
I have it in the DVR, but I'm so proud of him. He's had really a great couple years. And
yes.
After being, you know, toiling in that industry of stand-up comedians for his whole life, he's hitting a new level of success. He's kind of getting a bit of a second chance. I
know.
Think,
isn't that great?
But it's because
of
Nate, right? Nate Bargatze. He kind of took him under his wing. Yeah.
Could be. And Nikki Glaser, never hurts. Okay, and then 43 years ago. So we heard 1961, that was the number one song. 43 years ago in 1982, this hit number one. It's Hall & Oates. This is their biggest hit ever, which I didn't realize.
What, are you kidding me?
That's what it says.
That's weird. She'll only come out at night. This might be like one of my least favorite Hall & Oates songs, right?
All right, they say... This was the fifth time they hit number one. And they're saying it's their biggest smash ever, Maneater. And I'm thinking, is that opinion or is that, I don't know.
Well, it's probably based on the amount of time it's spent on the charts. I mean, some of that has to
bigger
do with competition and other songs and stuff like that.
Girl.
Well,
yeah.
I would say bigger than Kiss on My List, which has got to be, if I were picking their biggest song, it would be Kiss on My List.
Okay, whatever album this is, I had it on cassette. Because I can picture it. You know, when I hear the song, I'm like, oh, yeah, I had that on cassette. And 41 years ago
today. Is that all with Maneater? Can I stop with
Yeah,
Maneater?
You can stop
okay.
that.
I mean, it's not the
it really
worst
isn't.
Song, but it's not my favorite Hall & Oates song.
Rich Girl is good, but what's the one I read? She's Gone.
Love,
oh, She's
great.
Gone.
That's a great
oh,
song.
You might want to throw that on the old.
Oh, on my
yeah,
playlist,
put that
right?
On there, yeah.
yeah. And those, you know what sucks is those guys, like, I think they hate each other.
Yeah.
They're in a lawsuit, and I think they settled. I can't remember. It was probably over money. 41 years ago today, in 1984, Jamie Lee Curtis married Christopher Guest, and they got married at Rob Reiner's house in L.A. It was 9 months after This Is Spinal Tap hit theaters. And Reiner would then direct him again 3 years later in The Princess Bride. You know, Christopher Guest was Nigel in Spinal Tap and the Six-Fingered Man in The Princess Bride, which is all making me want to watch that again. Rob Reiner directed both movies. So
the crowd didn't like that at all.
But yes, so happy anniversary to Jamie Lee Curtis, who I'm sure is thinking about Rob Reiner today. And then 28 years ago, you guys, I forgot this. It was 1997 when Chris Farley was found dead. In his Chicago apartment, he passed away from an overdose of cocaine. He was only 33.
Yeah, he's very young.
Oh, my gosh.
Very popular, you know, because he was a Milwaukee guy. So we would talk about Chris quite a bit up there. He went to Marquette. You know, it's another one of those things. I was watching some comedy recently with Sam Kennison. I was lucky enough to see Sam when he was alive. And you lose these guys like Farley, John Candy, Sam Kennison. Now, they weren't the pictures of health, right?
That was part of it.
And addiction issues, too.
This is, if you've been meaning to mail a Christmas gift, get on it, because after today it starts to get pricey. If you're using the Postal Service to ship a box, today's the last day to send it with normal priority mail to make sure it gets there by Christmas. I don't know if that reality exists anymore, Fred. I find it
funny to hear you read that.
I did. Well, this is the official word from them, but I got a text from Pam, a good friend of my mother's. In Pennsylvania. Now, I sent her a Christmas card probably 5-6 days ago. She got nothing. Nothing. Mm. So I said, well, it's coming. Anyway, they say that UPS, it might be too late for normal ground shipping. So you may have to come up with another plan. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. And it's random. 80% of the pretzels made in the U.S. are made in Pennsylvania.
80%?
80%!
That's the pretzel Kingdom of America. There you go. We got information about reclassification of marijuana just around the corner.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Ah, Mr. Tom Petty, with a little Christmas bumper music as we bring you back in here this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. Christmas all over again. Damn it, Sue, I stepped on Tom's lyrics there, didn't I?
Barely.
Hey, this was President Trump earlier today.
Today I'm pleased to announce that I will be signing an executive order to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 controlled substance with legitimate medical uses.
He talked about how it's going to help a lot of people.
We have people begging for me to do this. People that are in great pain.
A long time coming. I thought, you know, some people maybe thought he was going to do it in the first administration. I'm a little surprised it didn't get done with Biden. There have been a lot of, lobbying and movement toward this decision today. Andrew Mullins, who in all full disclosure is a personal friend of mine. He may not like me to admit that. He's the executive director of Mocan Trade, Missouri's Cannabis Trade Association. My wife, Rebecca, also works in the industry. So all the full disclosures out there. But Andrew, this is something that you've been pointed to for a long time. And I guess we had heard rumors he was going to do it a couple of days ago, and it finally got done today.
Yeah, I think patients, marijuana consumers, physicians, the medical world, we are all celebrating. This is a long time coming, and just a huge win for everybody that finds value in cannabis and marijuana, for all the things that might ail them. And we are just so excited to see this this progress. The announcement was just amazing. The group of people that he put together to represent this all the voices from the medical world. It was great to see everybody come together, and great to see this policy shift coming from the White House.
So, and I'm familiar with it, and you and I have talked about it before. I totally support it. There's some conservatives certainly that don't. I'm more libertarian conservative on this. But what does it actually do? And one of the questions I have, because I'm not clear on this, I read the order. The White House sent me the release. A lot of this deals with medical research, but this is also, because one of the challenges that the cannabis industry has had, if you're legal in a state like Illinois or Missouri or wherever, it's still not legal federally, so it affects the banking situation. Does what he signed today address that issue or only the medical research issue?
No, not necessarily on the banking side. So, you know, since marijuana has been listed as a Schedule I substance in 1970 to now, what you've seen is all the limitations that includes. And so when you have a marijuana listed as something that has no medical benefit, that federal illegality creates a lot of barriers, both in business, but also in medical research, in actually having true research that represents the power of what the plant and this medicine can do. So really the rescheduling does three main things. So first of all, you're recognizing cannabis or marijuana as a medical substance or medical product that it has accepted medical uses. Second thing is you're removing the barriers to research. So I think many Americans, a large percentage of Americans, have been doing anecdotal research with marijuana for hundreds of years. And what we're seeing now is the ability to have significant formal research by many, many different organizations to substantiate what the power of marijuana can do for the people that want to use it for its medicinal benefits. And then lastly, it actually, there has been a barrier that really relates more to the business side of cannabis. As a Schedule I drug, marijuana has a very unique a tax application or tax code that only applies to this federally illegal industry, but state legal industry. And what that tax code does is it has basically any small business that has a license, and I'll speak specifically to Missouri businesses, but any of those that have a license, that 280E tax code basically disallows them from deducting normalized business expenses. And so, you know, imagine you can't have those deductions and the actual amount of tax that a company might pay. And what that does, in essence, is handicap these businesses from being able to operate in parity with any other small business. You know, it's your profitability is you know, much more hampered than any other business, whether you're in a regulated area or not. And so by removing that from those businesses or not having them pay that anymore, you're going to see their ability to do more things, both with their employees, with their businesses, whether it be expansion or access to capital, taking care of the folks that work in those facilities, but really just putting them on even footing with any other small business or industry that's out there. So that's a really big thing. And the fact that Missouri's program that we have here has been so successful, a lot of people might not realize that Marijuana Missouri, for the folks that are buying the products and finding value in marijuana, I mean, we're basically, since the first sale of adult-use cannabis in 2023, we've been selling $4 million a day of legal, safe, compliant marijuana in Missouri every day. This is now $1.5 billion a year industry in Missouri. And so it has a big economic impact. You know, it provides access to the folks, you know, safe, tested access to marijuana. But
whoops, I think we lost him there. That sounded like a line went dead. Wait, there you are. You came back. We lost you for like 5 seconds. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, I might have a technical glitch over here, but I was just saying the economic impact that the program has had for the state of Missouri. Just last year, $241 million in taxes and fees that go to the state, and those are in they're applicable to local communities. And you're seeing since the program has been online, the Missouri Veterans Commission has received over $90 million in taxes that is benefiting that organization just here in Missouri. So we're very proud of what the industry here has become, but this rescheduling really removes a lot of barriers, both in access, in research, and in business opportunity.
Andrew Mullins is here. He's the executive director of Bocan Trade, which is the Missouri Cannabis Trade Association. You know, as I Googled this afternoon, I came up with an interesting story that was from the state of Kansas, because I guess Kansas is not medicinal or recreational. Is that true? Can you confirm that?
That is correct. Okay, they have no legalization in Kansas.
Right. So what they said is that they will continue to enforce existing laws. But then they said this. They said the marijuana products sold today, and this is what we're hearing. This is a lot of what some of the researchers are saying. There's op-eds in the New York Times, the Washington Post. They said the marijuana products sold today are highly potent. They pose a direct threat to public health. Rescheduling will allow qualified scientists to conduct reliable research on the long-term impact of the human brain, the high use of high concentration of THC. We believe this will conclusively prove the connection between marijuana use and mental health disorders, especially in children and teens. So they're kind of flipping it around a little bit and saying, look, we think that this is okay because it will allow the scientists to prove what we've been making claims about kids and teenagers. How would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, the program in Missouri, you don't have the ability to access regulated marijuana by anyone under 21. It's very difficult to enter these facilities and have any kind of access to those products. So that's the first thing. The second thing is when you look at what rescheduling does, that research and that ability to look and establish guardrails and establish frameworks in which you can say, okay, right now everybody's sort of speaking anecdotally. We think it does this or we think it could do that. Well, now we'll actually know what it does and what it doesn't do. And if there actually are real harms out there, especially, to the youth of America or whatnot. But honestly, from what we see and from what we see the people that find value in this, I mean, all you got to do is look at how many people are currently utilizing cannabis as medicine for whatever might be going on in their life. It could be sleep. It could be stress. It could be anxiety. It could be more serious disorders. People that are using it for cancer. I mean, my own family member, my stepfather had cancer, and he started, he kind of just threw up his arms in what he was able to access through pharma. Yeah. And once he got access to cannabis, he's alleviating some pain. But the biggest thing is, he's redeveloped an appetite, got rid of some of the nausea, and he was able to sleep. And when all those things happen and you're dealing with something as crazy as cancer, it actually allows you to heal and just have a better quality of life while you're going through all that, rehab and trying to get well.
I agree. I'm a fan of this. I'm glad that he did it. But let me circle back on the banking question, because don't you feel like that still needs to be addressed? And it doesn't sound like it will be addressed. I mean, you'd need a lot of common ground on that. So what's going to happen with the banking industry? Because that's still, or the banking issue, because that still presents challenges to the industry across the country.
Well, definitely. So in Missouri, we are able to bank cannabis. I mean, you're able to bank it anywhere. You're just working with state chartered banks versus federally chartered banks.
So it's not that big of a challenge. You get around it.
Well, but there are other challenges on the finance side. So you currently don't have any American cannabis companies that can uplist on the exchanges. And I think there is some attention towards that. I believe there was actually some legislation in Congress that moved just this week related to some federal reform on banking and possibly some of those other things. So, there's been so much focus around this and so much excitement about what this does and the barriers that it removes. We're hopeful that some of the other finance and banking type things will also move. But there's just been so much that has happened in the last 30 days when you look at the federal policy change that was part of the government shutdown appropriation bill to reopen the government that basically redefined the difference between industrial hemp and marijuana, because that's been a challenge for a long time. And it's allowed the proliferation of unregulated marijuana products, what some people might say are hemp derived products, but really they're just marijuana products posing as hemp because of that lack of clarity in federal law, which we now have. So there is a lot that's happened in the last 30 days. And for people that find value in marijuana, it's all great news, especially the focus that the president and his team put to really rally around cannabis as medicine. And that's what we saw today in that presser.
Yeah, and you've seen a fair amount of support from Republicans. I know Senator Schwer, who's a regular on my show, he has been on your side on many of these issues. So there are Republicans who have pushed for this by, proof of what happened today in the White House. Andrew Mullins, Executive Director of Mocan Trade. Precified, thanks for coming on this afternoon. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, take care. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 3. Jane will be on the panel, all healed up. She had lost her voice, had a little bit of a virus, but she's all better and will join us not only tomorrow at 3, but tonight at 5:30 because Sam Page announced he's not running for re-election. A small Christmas miracle, ladies and gentlemen. So Jane will have her take on that. But obviously one of the topics we'll toss out tomorrow. Former state senators John Lamping and Jeff Smith will also be on the panel. Paul Hall on entertainment. Cusimano will take us into the weekend with sports. And then Greg Coase, who I knew Greg many, many years ago because he did this great documentary about a Neil Diamond tribute act in Milwaukee called Lightning and Thunder. And that documentary is being remade into a feature film starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. It opens on Christmas Day, but Greg's documentary is wonderful, and he'll tell you all about the movie and how it became a major motion picture and all that tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. Yesterday, Fred, we talked about how, and if I had known this, I think I had forgotten it, but if you are in the Catholic Church, you have Cardinal Dolan, we were talking about in New York City, there's a mandatory resignation at the age of 75, and he has reached that, right?
Right. He reached that in February. He turned 75. You give your notice to the current Pope that you're ready to retire.
You send him a text, or what do you do?
Yeah, what if you
don't?
Letter.
It's an official letter.
Okay, all right.
And then it's up to the Pope to decide when to do it. I mean, he sent the letter in February. Pope Francis didn't do anything with it. Sometimes they leave you in for 6 to 9 months, maybe a year. And then Pope Leo, now that he's getting, the ground under his feet, he went ahead and chose a successor in New York City. So he could, officially allow the cardinal to retire.
So he's already named him. And then I saw Cardinal Dolan. Of course, we talk about him a little bit more because he's got the St. Louis roots, right?
Right. He's a St. Louis native. He was ordained here nearly 50 years ago. He's been a priest for almost 50 years. He was an auxiliary bishop here. He was the Archbishop of Milwaukee for 5 years or so. And then he went on to be moved to New York City, where he's the Archbishop of New York City, and then Pope Benedict elevated him to cardinal.
So how do I say this without pissing off a good portion of the Catholic audience? Because one of the issues that, and this kind of goes hand in hand with New York and some of the settlements, I'm not a fan of a lot of the things that happen with the scandals in the Catholic Church. I think it's despicable. But Cardinal Dolan has always been that guy that sort of stands above the fray, and he's positive and he's welcoming. I'm not Catholic. My family's Catholic. But he's the kind of guy, if I was Catholic, I'd want him to be my leader. So I think he's been an unbelievable example. And every time he talks, you just feel this warmth from him.
I've been hearing that so much today from people in New York City, even major media talk show hosts and news people saying the same thing. He just represented the faith so well.
Yes.
He was so outgoing, so friendly, so down to earth. If he'd come to a radio station or a TV station, he'd be eating a bagel right before
he
went on air.
Well, he seemed real. And you get into the hierarchy of the church. So here he is on Fox this morning.
When you turn 75, any bishop, pretty soon he's going to be retired. So people know that and they'll start writing you. So I got some requests, like to go to some universities, just to be on this, maybe to take a sabbatical, maybe to teach a course. And I'm going to kind of appreciate the chance to set my own schedule.
I love that. He's been very busy for years. He gets to retire.
Yeah. The fun thing about Cardinal Dolan is he's just a great storyteller. And the stories come up at any time. I can remember a few years ago, he was, the Archbishop of New York. He came to St. Louis and he was having a news conference in St. Louis. And I wasn't there. I was, you know, usually here, but another reporter was there. And Cardinal Dolan took notice of that in front of everyone that was at the news conference.
Sue, check this out. This is pretty cool.
Is Fred still around?
He is.
Yeah, would you tell him hello?
I will.
One time when I was in Rome, Fred, you guys remember Fred Bottomer? When I was in Rome as rector, he would often call. Most of the time when Pope John Paul would be sick, he'd call to say, what's the real word? So one time he called, and I said, I wonder what this is about. The Pope's not sick. So I got on the air.
And did he tell, what was the story beyond
that? Well, that's great,
Fred. Oh, he was just talking about how I was asking him about something else. But I would try and do him weekly when he was in Rome. He was the rector of the North American Seminary there in Rome. And he was just a fun guy. I think he also talked about how KMOX would always call him and just, yeah, you know, talk to him about all sorts of different things. And,
that's great.
And he was just a very friendly, outgoing guy.
I've never, ever had a negative impression of anything surrounding him, ever. Only positive things.
That's
so
great.
So he's earned his retirement, but I hope he kind of stays out there. And he's an inspirational guy, so I think he will still have a role.
Isn't his brother, or wasn't his brother, a talk show host?
Yeah, his brother was a talk show host. It was Weber and Dolan. They did a show in Milwaukee. And it was, I can't remember what his brother's name was, but Jay Weber actually works at, Dan O'Donnell was on a couple of days ago, WISN, because we were talking about that judge up there who, by the way, I think is going to be found guilty for letting that guy out of her courthouse.
That goes to the jury.
Tomorrow, I think, right. But Jay Weber just retired from that radio station, but he had not been doing it with, what was Dolan's brother's name? Do you know what Colonel Dolan's brother's name is?
I don't.
I can't remember it either.
Is it Bill? No.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Anyway, we're out of time for this hour. We got Jennings coming up. One more visit with the National Treasure on CNN after Fox News.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.